How many of you believe something happened in the spirit right there? See, that's almost our duty at this point. That's where we put our faith into action, where we stand for what we just prayed for. Yes. Not, hey, boy, you know, he's going to go tomorrow. No, glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I'm just thankful that we have a God that we can go to anytime, anywhere, Amen. With anything. Amen. All right? Nothing is too big for him. Nothing's too hard for him. And we can bring it to him. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know what he healed yesterday? Amen. You know what else? He heals today. Yes. And he'll heal tomorrow. Amen? Yes. Amen. He set free yesterday. Yes. And he sets free today. Yes. And he'll set free tomorrow. Yes. He has broken addictions yesterday. Yes. He'll break them today, glory to God. And he'll break them tomorrow. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. And he never tires of hearing from us. We might think that we get tired of hearing some people come to us and ask certain things over and over again. God doesn't get tired of hearing that. Amen? You can never go to God too much. Amen. I could get excited here. All right. We are still teaching a series on the baptism in the Holy Spirit that is entitled The Power That Still Prevails. My hope, and I think that God's direction for us in this series, and I said it last week, but is that at the time, or by the time that we have it finished, we have a good grasp, if you will, on the purpose and the need for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the urgency for that as we see the day approaching. Amen? Amen. At the risk of sounding repetitive, okay, because I'm just going to repeat a little bit of last week, just to kind of get us to where we are. That third member of the Trinity is still working in our lives, as they say he's still working, to the exact same degree, in the exact same way, with the exact same urgency that he worked in Bible days. Amen. And that in itself should make you want to give him praise this morning. That, yes, come on, man. That in itself, it ought to make you want to jump and shout. You see, it becomes real when it's you. Doesn't it? It becomes real when it's you, not when it's somebody else, but when it's you that needs it. Amen. Okay. The message today is entitled, and it's part 4B, okay? Our coach. Let's all stand together and we will repeat our Bible declaration together. Hold your Bible, you already are. Hold your Bibles up, yeah. And repeat this with me. And let's repeat it like we believe it this morning. Not like it's something that we say every week. Not like it's something we just kind of let roll off our tongue. But think about what you're going to say as you say it. Okay? Maybe a hair before. But think about it, all right? Amen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Now come on, man. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I like that. You were kind of excited with me in that. Last week I started like this, and I'm going to start like this again this week, okay? Concerning the Trinity, concerning the Holy Three in One, all right? The Father is in heaven, amen. Jesus is at his right hand where he is ever making intercession for you and I at all times. Am I right? What? Yes. Amen. And it's the Holy Spirit who is present and active on the earth today in this season on God's calendar. Amen? How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit today? How many of you through this series have begun to see that the Holy Spirit isn't an option, amen? That the Holy Spirit is necessary for every believer, amen? Amen. 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 Please turn with me again to our base scripture, if you will, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and we will begin reading there. Are you there?
Yes.
But it's amazing to me how it can be so loud and be so quiet, you know? All right. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, amen, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In this series so far, we've learned that God poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit on his people. That's you and I, the church. Amen? Okay. On the day of Pentecost, he began that, and we just read about that. And it's the amazing, that same amazing Holy Spirit, if you will, who filled believers in Jesus' day, that's still filling believers today. Are you with me? Last week, we determined the questions that we needed to be able to answer the naysayers. And by naysayers, I'm talking about people who speak against the Holy Spirit and that it isn't necessary today. And you know, that was only for the dispensation of the apostles and or the apostolic dispensation, okay? It was, you know, I mean, they can say what they want, but I'm going to believe what the Bible says. Amen? Are you with me? And you can't find anywhere in the Bible, in fact, you can only find in the Bible where Jesus says, it's more profitable for you if I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Well, that's what I'm going to believe. But the questions are these. What is it that happens when he fills us? You know, what do you actually, and what do I actually receive from heaven that changes, from the changes you and I from the way we were before we were filled to the way that we are after we have been filled? What is that? How are we different now that the Holy Spirit has come to fill us? Serena, could you come up and pray for the message?
Father, I thank you that today we gather together in your name, Father, to worship you and to bless you and to receive from you all that we stand in need of, God. Father, we need more of your Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-time gesture on your part, God, but daily, sometimes moment by moment, we need to just reach out and have the Holy Spirit be filling us and so that we can flow in it and flow through us. We thank you for this truth, God. We thank you for your word that richly dwells in us. We thank you that, Father, as we read your word and hear your word and study your word, it changes us by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And amen. Are you getting anything out of this series? I hope you're getting as much as I'm getting out of it. Because that's what happens, you know. You begin to research things in the Bible, and all of a sudden other things pop out at you, and you've got to preach those things that pop out at you, because those things that pop out of you are good. Amen? When the Holy Spirit begins to reveal. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I couldn't get up here and do what I do every Sunday without the Holy Spirit. I've been here, what, 26, 27 years? 27. Yeah. Multiply that by one sermon a week, minus just a few when I haven't been here, and that's a lot of sermons, okay? That's a lot of sermons, but the Holy Spirit is faithful, amen? Every Sunday, even when I don't think he's going to be, he's always faithful to give me something that I hope, anyway, encourages you. And I'm sorry if the messages don't always encourage you. Maybe they will convict you. Glory be to God. That's the Holy Spirit. And I swear, as long as I'm up here in this pulpit, I'm not going to preach to you comfort unless the Holy Spirit says comfort. Amen? I'm not going to preach to you how wonderful you are unless God says to. Are you with me? I'm going to preach the Word of God the way it says. I don't know where that came from. Okay. There were eight things that the Holy Spirit does within us when he fills us. We went through the first four last week, and we will go through the next four today. And again, my disclaimer for this week, I can't believe I preached an hour last week. But the tapes don't lie, okay? And I'm not going to apologize, but I don't think it's going to be an hour today. But if I don't get back to my notes, it's going to be 2 hours, okay? All right, all right. The fifth thing that the Holy Spirit does is the Spirit convinces us of righteousness, okay? There is another work of the Spirit that he works within us, and it's found in John 16, verse 8, where it says, "And when he has come," speaking of the Spirit, "and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment." The fifth thing, again, that happens when we're filled with the Spirit, or should I say that the Spirit does in our life, is to convict or reprove we believers of righteousness. Again, the word that's used is the Greek word alegcho, which we talked about last week, but it means to expose or to convict or to cross-examine for the purposes of conviction, as in convicting a lawbreaker in a court of law. Here we see that just as the power of the Spirit is needed to wake up a sinner to recognize that they have sin in their lives, amen? I mean, you know what it was like before you got saved. You didn't think about sin every day. You just did. Hello? Okay. And now hopefully you think about it, okay? But that same supernatural power of the Spirit is also needed to convince the believer, and stay with me here, that's you and I, that we are righteous because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Did you hear that? He took on all of our sin that we might become righteous. You know, your righteousness doesn't dwell all over you. It dwells in you because your righteousness is of Christ, and it's because of him, not because of your works. Amen? We all know that the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross of Calvary, okay? We know that. And he took his sins upon himself. We know that. And that act alone is what makes us righteous before God. And we have such a hard time accepting that. As a believer, you know, I've been saved, what, 40 years, 40 plus years, and I still have this little voice in the back of my head that tells me that you have to do more. You have to be different. And that can be an encouraging voice from the Holy Spirit, but when it's the idea that I can earn my own righteousness by being good, it's wrong. Have you ever heard that voice? Amen. 2 Timothy 1:9 and 10 says this: "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Praise the Lord forever. Man, he is so, so kind to us. Amen? All right. For some believers, though, when they first hear the truth that God has made them righteous, they can have a very, very difficult time embracing that fact because they have just come to realize how unrighteous they have been. All right? Are you with me? Because they're so conscious and they're so mindful of their sinful nature that they struggle to grab a hold of that truth that they have been declared righteous. Some even struggle to believe that they're even saved. Yeah. How many of you know that's the enemy? That's the enemy. If you ever want to know the voice of the enemy, that is the enemy. Okay? It truly is. You see, if you don't understand and you don't accept the fact that you are righteous in Christ, then that discouragement alone and that lack of confidence in itself can mess you up. All right? It can mess you up. Remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Why don't you say that last part with me? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me tell you something, all right? It isn't written anywhere here on earth. All right? You don't receive a certificate to hang on the wall when you get saved, nor do you receive a trophy that proves that you got saved. And it isn't announced over a loudspeaker for everyone to hear. But nonetheless, it has undoubtedly happened. Amen? Oh, come on, you should get excited about that this morning. You have become the righteousness of God. You have become that. You have gone from sinner to saint. Well, but Pastor Wes, I still sin. I know. That's why we have the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's why we have that everlasting, ever-working, all-powerful blood of Jesus that hasn't diminished in power from the day that it was shed, that it washes over us, it puts our sin as far as the east is from the west, washes us whiter than any fuller soap could ever wash us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Romans 8, 1 and 2, okay? I love this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, there's another one right here. See, but if I don't believe that, if I don't believe that's in me, I start doubting what the Bible is saying, amen? Because this is what it's saying about me now that I've accepted Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know this one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings that realization into your life. That's who cements it inside of you. Helping you to see beyond a shadow of any doubt that the devil might bring your way, because the devil doesn't want you to believe that you're saved. The devil does not want you to believe that the blood did anything for you. What sense does that make, right? What sense does that make that somebody had to die for you? Maybe it helped him. How could it help you? He doesn't want you to believe it. He doesn't want you to believe that the atoning death of Jesus was for everybody, for the whole world. I lost my place. But helping you see beyond any shadow of a doubt that because of the blood of Jesus, his regenerative work, because of that, you become the righteousness of God in Christ. Man, I think about that, obviously. And I don't think there's anything greater right now that we have to praise God for. I know I can't be righteous on my own. I have tried. I used to try to stop all kinds of behavior before I got saved. You know what? I failed every stinking time. All right? But once I got saved and the Holy Spirit came into my life, there was this empowerment to get rid of those things and the desire to get rid of them for good. And then when they did come back, it was just, to me, just repulsive. Amen? And I pray for you that your past behavior and your bad habits, your addictions, and all of those things to you would just be so repulsive that you run the other way. Amen? You know, the first time you start to take a couple steps towards that, you are sunk. Amen? Don't do that. Run the other way. Running is not weakness, all right? It's strength. And having the wisdom to do what you should. It's no different. And it talks about sexual sin in the Bible, you know. And it says, flee also youthful lusts. What is that saying? Run! Don't stand there and argue with the person. Get out of there! Don't stand in the presence of it. You know why? Well, because you're going to fall if you do. Because there's this desire inside of us that can be twisted so easy. So easy. So just run. Okay. Number 6. It might be an hour. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit also guides us. Jesus went on to say in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Here's another role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. He will become our guide, okay? Our guide. Guide to what? The guide to help you live your Christian life the way it should be lived. How many of you know there is a real possibility that you can live your Christian life the way it shouldn't be lived? Amen. All right. If you've been saved more than a day, then you know. Amen. But the word guide is the Greek word hodos, okay? Which is a derivative of the word hodos, which is a Greek word for a road. When it becomes the word hodagos, as we see in this verse, it describes the Holy Spirit as being a tour guide that takes us down a road. And as our personal tour guide, the Holy Spirit knows all the right roads to take, amen? And the Holy Spirit, he knows the ones that we need to take. He also knows the ones that will be the most pleasurable or profitable for us to travel on. And not only does he know all of what I just mentioned, he also knows the fastest route to take to get to our destination. One more thing. He also knows the safest route to take us to our destination. The fact that Jesus likens the Holy Spirit, if you will, to a personal tour guide means that your Christian life is not supposed to be a boring, monotonous, day after day, same routine. Amen. Nor is it to be a plan without a purpose. Maybe I'm the only one. But have you ever gotten to the place where you... Okay, and I've even said it, okay? I'm just sick of the same old stuff every stinking day. I go here, I do that, I do this, I do that. You know, I go there, then when I'm done doing that, well, I go home. Then if I have any energy left, I do something, and then I go to bed. Then I get up and do the same old, same old, same old. Well, guess what? That isn't what the Holy Spirit wants for your life. Instead, the Holy Spirit wants to take you down the road that will safely take you from the place where you are to the place that you are fulfilling and enjoying God's plan for your life. Glory to God. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future hope. You know that last time that you made a mistake or you tried to tighten that nut and it wouldn't tighten and the bolt, the wrench slipped off the bolt and you kind of cursed God under your breath? Those aren't the kind of thoughts that he has towards you. He isn't going, hey, watch this. You know, hey, check this out. Yeah. No, the Bible says thoughts of peace and not evil. I think a wrench that slips is terribly evil, okay? To give you a future and a hope, then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and glory to God, I will listen to you. Have you ever talked to somebody and they don't really listen to you? You know, and then you question what you just said. You say, hey, what do you think? And they go, hey, what? Yeah, he listens, all right? And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. He wants to lead you, amen? He wants to guide you safely and cause your Christian life to be a fulfilling experience. That's another reason to shout praise. God doesn't call us to bore us. Okay? Why don't you write that down? God doesn't call us to bore us, all right? The Christian life isn't just about the do's and the don'ts, okay? It's about having a plan that has a purpose. Amen? Amen? And he thinks that kind of thought towards us all the time. And that's what makes it so neat, is when we ask God what it is that he wants us to do, he will listen to us. Now, won't he? And he'll answer us. But I think most of all, and this is the part that I love most of all in this verse, is that he wants to be found by you. Glory to God. Jeremiah 29, verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I just don't know where God is. I go look for him. He says when you look for him, you're going to find him. Do you believe what the Bible says? Okay, so if you don't know where God is right now, go look for him. How do you do that? Read, pray, seek his face. Do whatever you have to do. Is it important enough to you to take the time to do that? Okay. And this is a true statement, okay? The true believer who is actively pursuing the call of God on his or her life, I don't think there's ever a dull moment. Amen? I don't think there's ever a dull moment. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is ever speaking, ever leading, ever correcting, ever directing, ever guarding, ever guiding, and he is ever being found by you or making himself known to you. He doesn't make himself hard to be found. In fact, an important part of his job or his function is to be present in your life, speaking to you and guiding you. Glory to God. He guides us. Number 7. I might get through 8 today. So what else did Jesus say that the Holy Spirit would do in our lives? All right. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to come. He'll reveal things to come. Again, we turn to his words in John 16:13, where he concludes by saying, he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will show you things to come. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It doesn't mean something other than what it says, okay? I can try to tell you, well, the Greek says this and the Greek says that, but when it comes right down to it, he will show you things to come. Amen. He will, all right? The phrase things to come is a translation of the word erkomai, and it means whatever is to come, whatever. And even though some people say, all right, that this just refers to end-time biblical events, which is called eschatology, you know, and this is all that this is talking about, that's not what Jesus is addressing here, okay? Things to come denotes whatever is coming, not just the end times that are coming. It means whatever is coming, whatever's coming your way. And remember, the Holy Spirit is your coach, and your coach, he doesn't just talk to you about theology, okay? He talks to you about practical matters that seem like matters that he wouldn't even be interested in or concerned with, practical matters like where to live. Have you ever prayed where you should move? Okay. What job to take? How to fix something that's broken? I'll tell you what, I don't have any mechanical training at all, but I have been able to fix our cars from day one, okay? And it's only because all of a sudden I kind of know what to do. All right? No, it really works, but I'm older now and I don't feel like it, so I pay for it to have it done. But how to fix something that's broken, where to find something that's lost. Yes. And the best investments that you can make financially. Oh, God, the Holy Spirit doesn't care about those things. Yes, he does. Your coach, again, the Holy Spirit, has the mind of God and knows everything about what? Everything. Say everything. Everything. With that said, things to come does include future events. If we're listening to the Holy Spirit, he will reveal to us the difficult circumstances of life that are coming. You're going, oh, really? How many of you have ever known what's coming in your life? And the only way that you could have known what's coming is because the Holy Spirit has told you.
Yep. Exactly.
You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to be, all right? I have this other thing to mention. The Holy Spirit will show you when things are lost. That is so true.
Yes.
Again, and I think I used it last week, but, you know, the times when I can't find something that I just had in my hand has nothing to do with age, okay? But the times when I can't find something that I know where it is, if I have the presence of mind just to say, Holy Spirit, you know where it is, you know, like my wife always remembers to say, I find it.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I don't always give God credit because I don't remember that I asked him to tell me to show me where it is. But he's faithful. He's faithful. And if you don't think that works, just try it. It does, okay? We see an example of him telling things to come in Acts 11:28, where a man named Agabus received a revelation from the Holy Spirit that an intense famine was coming that would affect the whole world, okay? And it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. What he was told, what he knew, he was told by the Holy Spirit, he told other people, and it came to pass. Later, when Paul was staying at the house of Philip the evangelist, Agabus came to him and told him of the future peril that awaited him in the city of Jerusalem. That's in Acts 21, verses 8 through 11. Note that both of these examples deal with personal events, all right? They don't deal with theological doctrine. I'm not saying he won't speak to you about theological doctrine because he absolutely will, okay? Absolutely will. You know, without the Holy Spirit, there isn't one of us that knows what the Bible really says. Amen? Come on, amen? If we will ask, if we will listen, okay, the Holy Spirit will give us advance warning, if you will, and reveal the attacks of the enemy. Why? So we can cut him off, so we can win, amen? So that in all areas of our life, we don't fall to the enemy, because it seems like, and it really just seems like when we open the door to one area to the enemy, when we give him even a foothold, he takes a leg hold. Then when he gets a leg hold, he takes a body hold. Next thing you know, he's got a hold of you. Oh, that doesn't happen to me. I'm really glad. I am, if that's true. I'm really glad. See, you and I, we have to believe it when we read that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is for you and not against you.
Yes.
Amen? So he's not doing things against you. He's doing things for you. All right? And sometimes I know that's really hard for us to grab a hold of because life throws some really rotten things our way. God is for us. How is God for us? You know what? Brian and Sheila didn't get killed yesterday as the van flipped 2 times and slammed into the ditch. Glory be to God.
Yes.
I mean, you could sit here and you could say, how come he let that happen? Well, glory to God, he didn't let the worst thing happen.
Amen?
Amen? And that's what we need to praise him for.
Yes.
Okay. So we have to believe it when we read that the Holy Spirit is for you and not against you. So what is it? Number 8. Look out. Number 8. Now, I'm not saying there's only 8 things that the Holy Spirit does, okay? These are 8 things that we are focusing on right now. And this one is different, okay? The Holy Spirit worships Jesus with us. The 8th activity that we want to mention is that the Holy Spirit brings Jesus glory. Amen? And there's lots of ways that he can do that. But there's one specific way I want to talk about this morning. Speaking of the Spirit, Jesus himself said, he shall glorify me. And he said that in John 16:14. Or could it be written, he shall bring me glory? Would it make any difference? Are we there? He shall bring me glory, okay? One of the ways that we bring God glory is, of course, by the way we live, okay, which is, in fact, worship, okay? But one of the ways that we can bring God glory is by worshiping him as in a Sunday morning, which should be 7 days a week and not just one. But that's one of the reasons why we start our service with worship. We want the presence of God. Yeah, we want to prepare our heart to hear the word, you know, all of those things, and they all get thrown in there. But hear me now. We want to bring God glory. We want his presence to come flowing in here, because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why Pastor Josh will encourage you so much, just praise him. Amen? Because God can come flooding in when something like that is going on. So we start our services to worship, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and really the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about that, and I don't think any of us give much thought to the fact that the Holy Spirit himself is a worshiper. You know, I don't think we really think about that. And he loves and exists to bring Jesus and the Father glory. Is that not his job title? Hear me now. As you develop a deeper relationship with the Spirit of God, you see, Jesus doesn't get jealous. God doesn't get jealous. You need to have a relationship, a close relationship with the Spirit of God. Okay? But as you develop a deeper relationship with the Spirit of God, he will help you to become more freer in worship and praise. You see, the more you yield to the Spirit, the easier it is to lift up your hands high, okay, and to sing spiritual songs and even dance for the Lord in his presence. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is prompting you and instructing you to do exactly that. And he's joining you in doing exactly that. Do you remember how hard it was to raise your hands in worship when you first got saved? You know? I remember I went to a Pentecostal church. Man, there was people all over going, and then they go like that. Mufasa. No, I don't know. Anyway. HDTV, sorry. Okay. But I could not do that because I thought everybody was going to be staring at me. And anyway, I was Reformed before and Catholic before. And I knew quite a bit about the Bible, you know, I thought. And I didn't really think it ever said anywhere in the Bible to raise your hands, you know. But the Holy Spirit will guide you to the Scriptures, as in the Psalms, that proves to you that that is the right thing to do. Amen. That we're to surrender. I surrender. I give it up, Lord. You know, I worship you. You know one thing I found out? When a whole congregation is going, Lord, I love you, you standing there like this brings more attention to you than you joining all these crazy people raising their hands. Okay? It's a fact. You think you're hiding, but you're really kind of saying, I'm not going to do that. But I really believe that the Holy Spirit, if you are open to him, the Holy Spirit will take you in the Bible to the Scriptures. It will prove what is the correct way. Not that there's a wrong way, but what is the most expressive way that you can worship him. Worship him with the loud cymbals. Oh, those drums are too loud. Are they? You know? Worship him with the trumpets, you know, worship him. You can worship him however. Worship him with a song. You know, some people do a better job of worshiping him with song than I do, okay? So I don't sing that loud, all right? But some people can sing loud and it's great. But I believe the Holy Spirit will show you the right things to do. Amen? Okay, as we wrap this up, let's review the 8 things that the Holy Spirit will do for any Christian who partners with him and receives his help. Number one, he teaches us. Number two, he reminds us of things. Number three, he testifies to us and through us. Number four, he convicts us. Number five, he convinces us of righteousness. I think that's great. Sometimes I have to be told over and over again, how about you, that I'm righteous. Because my behavior doesn't always, that's another sermon. He convinces us of righteousness. He guides us. He reveals things to come. And it amazes me, but he worships Jesus with us. Why? How? Because he gives God glory. The Holy Spirit, and after this next group of scriptures, I'm going to be done with this portion of this. I'm not going to be done with the series, but with this portion of it. The Holy Spirit is who Jesus was referring to when he said this, okay? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus is speaking here. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is not a lesser member of the Trinity. All right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Equal, yet different. Okay? And the Holy Spirit isn't just a nice thing to possess. He is a necessity to have. Amen? And no matter what anybody is going to tell you, certain denominations or certain people who think they know more than what the Word of God says, and they will tell you, oh, that's just passed away. Don't believe them for a minute. Don't believe them for a minute. Because Jesus himself said it's to your advantage that it go away. I can't imagine something being to my advantage more than having Jesus right by my side, but he says there was and is. And who is that? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Hasn't passed away, hasn't gone home. Okay? Still, say still. He still continues to work in our lives today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, there is nobody like you. Nobody that has a plan like you. Nobody that has it all laid out for us to read and see and to know like you. I thank you, God, that you don't hide from us, God. There are times when it feels like you're hiding. But Holy Spirit, thank you that you don't hide from us. Thank you that you will be found. And thank you that you, more than anything, you have a listening ear. And Lord, I pray right now for every individual in this service and those that are watching online, that if you don't have a walk, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that they would want that, that they would desire that, that they would see the reason for that and just have to have that more than anything. And I'm going to invite to this altar, why don't you stand with me first? But I'm going to invite to this altar, and you aren't confessing anything when you do this, when you come forward for this, but if you want a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you want him to have his way in your life, if you want him to be able to move you, to work through you, and minister to you, I just ask you to come forward today and just crowd this altar, I would believe anyway, with people that would want to come, and I'll pray for you if you would desire to have that closer walk with the Holy Spirit. I'm not claiming to be perfect in this. I'm just saying I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Right there. Right there. Just going to wait a couple seconds more. If you're sitting in your seat thinking that maybe you should go up, you should go up. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, I can pray this myself, you should come up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, Father, you see every person up here. You see every person that has come forward and has said, I want a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that right now that you would make each one that is up here more mindful of your presence in their life. Holy Spirit, we thank you for who you are, for what you do, for what you give us, for your willingness to work through us, your willingness to work to us. And God, I pray right now, God, by the power of that same Holy Spirit, that every person that has responded to this altar, God, that they would find themselves just hungering after that relationship, just hungering after that pure, wonderful relationship that they can have with you, that you have afforded us as believers.
Thank you, Lord.
God, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that this is the beginning. Thank you, Lord. This is the beginning of what's to be, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, and I pray right now that, Lord, there would be just a desire greater, God, greater than they have ever had to get into the Word, to get into the Word about you, to understand who you are, to believe what you do, and to be open to be used by you, starting from this moment on. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen and amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Tell him, thank you, Lord, for giving me that desire. Thank you, Lord, for giving me what I came up here to get. Thank you. I accept it by faith, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Now, Now, if you get in a fight with your wife when you leave here, that probably shows this is going to happen, okay? Because the enemy will come against you, okay? The enemy will come against you, but don't get your eyes off from the prize. Amen? Don't get your eyes off from the finish line. Ignore him. You know, the other day, I said to Serena, and she was of the same persuasion, I don't want to fight about this. I don't want to fight about this. And she goes, I don't want to fight about it either. So suddenly what was an issue was no longer an issue. Okay? Humble yourself. Just humble yourself. Humble yourself. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.